Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Podcast Network, powered by Omaha Audio. Cousin Sal comes to you on a Wednesday morning. Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, and Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Sal, what's up?
Oh my God, he's back.
And he's sick. Yes. He's definitely sick too.
Oh, he is sick. Well, let's set the stage. Parlay Kid and Brother Bri are doing this from New York. Harry is outside of the country, zooming in from Amsterdam. How's it going there, Harry? You're sick now?
No, I'm not sick. I'm just it's a little windy today, so I got a little bit of a cough, but I'm okay. I'll get through.
Is that
this.
What happens when it's a little windy? You get a cough? It's interesting. Doesn't take a lot. I'm getting conflicting reports, Harry. Last time you checked in with me, your wife, the lover, you call her the lover, had blisters on her feet, which led to she was sidelined, and you had to watch Murder, She Wrote, like a marathon in the room. But then I heard an updated report that she rebounded and was seen vomiting in the streets of Amsterdam. So which is it?
She did rebound very well. We went around the red light district yesterday. We did about 18,000 steps.
Wow.
But she did some mushrooms for the first time in her life. And, went in Rome or went in Amsterdam.
Yeah, I get
it. She found a bathroom where she had, after an hour of doing them, she threw up.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys are having vegetables, at least. Is a mushroom a vegetable, Parley? I'm not even sure. It's a legume, right? Babyface, check up on that. What is a mushroom? What do we think?
The kind of mushroom she had, I don't think those count. But it's good to know Angie rebounded, I guess, worse than Al Horford. We found someone that rebounds worse.
I gotcha. All right, well, let's talk about that. The Celtics are out. But game one pits Denver against Miami. Games 2, 3, and 4, and possibly 5, 6, and 7 will have the same teams. I can almost guarantee it. Denver is a 9-point favorite. 219 is the over-under. I like this matchup, even if it's over early. I kind of just like it, but I don't mind. The Nuggets 2-0 against the Heat this year. I think both games were close. For our game one pick, I'm going Denver under 113.5. It's minus 115. I think they're the superior team, but we all know the question is, how is the 10-day layoff going to affect them? And if you're banking on rust, there are a few ways to go. You take the Heat to win game one. You can take the Heat to cover or play with some of the totals. And that's what I'm doing. I'm going under 113.5. Maybe Jamal Murray comes out flat. Don't expect Gordon to score 22 tonight, like, or tomorrow night, like he broke out versus the Lakers. They average 116 in the playoffs, but went under 113.5 two of the last three versus the Lakers. They blew out the T-Wolves in game one of the playoffs in that round without eclipsing 110. I think this is the way to go. They could beat the Heat 107-97 and still cover, but stay under their total. Russ sets in a tiny bit under 113.5 team total. Harry, you like them to cover. You're not worried about points or anything or layoffs.
Yeah, look, I think head coach Mike Malone has the perfect message for his team saying, forget that they are the AC because they certainly are not playing like it. Speaking of eight, they're 8-0 at home in the playoffs. In fact, last time at home, they lost was in March.
Wow.
It's now June. Tomorrow it's June.
Yes. Yeah,
first
where
game
you
of the
are,
series in playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm mixed up being over here. I don't know what day is day. Yep. But first game of the series in the playoffs, Denver's averaging winning by 18. I'm taking Denver. I'm laying the points. Miami comes up and shows up in game two.
All right. Brother Bri, you're going the exact opposite way. It's a now 9 points you'll get with the Heat. It went up from like 8, 8.5, and now 9.
Yeah, it's high. Look, I truly believe game one is the series for the Heat, right? If they don't win in game one or at least show they have a chance, then it's going to get harder and harder for them. You know, they just coming off of a couple of grueling series. And the fact that they're going to be playing in Denver too, overtime may just wear down a little bit. So again, game one is huge for them. That being said, though, they have been phenomenal, right, in games ones, right? They beat the Bucks, Knicks, Celtics, all on the road in the game one. Your point, Denver has not played since May 22nd. So I think the Heat, you know, it's not like the Heat, you know, they had just enough rest, but still can stay pretty sharp here. So I think this is the game. This is the game they have to keep close. If they get blown out in game one, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you're looking at in this series. So I think they play hard and well coming out that Celtics series.
You have to weigh, all right, which is the indestructible force? The Heat in game one, the Heat on the road, or Denver, as Harry said, 8-0, just, right. What'd you say, 18 points?
Margin
of victory. It's insanity. So that's where it lays right at 9. Parlay kid, you're not taking the game on the whole. I think I know your reasoning here. If they're going to show rust, they're going to show rust in the first half, Denver. And so you're taking the Heat plus 5.
Yeah, it's 5.5 now, Sal, as well. So that helps a little bit. Just like you said, I don't think I need to say too much more. The Heat, I'm banking on them carrying some momentum over into the first half of this game. And the opposite happening with the Nuggets might take them the first half to wake up. That kind of makes sense. One thing I'd like to mention, we've been harping on the Heat as this 8 seed. They really were a 7 seed this year. They really were. They played as a 7 seed. They really did, right? Like, so I know they played the number 1 seed and the seedings is because they lost that play-in type of situation, but they weren't as, they coasted to like that division this year. They were never really challenged. They're better than what they have. And we'll talk about it more about the series in a second. But yes, Heat show up in the first half. The Nuggets struggle in the first half, and the Denver has not played a defense like this throughout the playoffs. So all apologies to the teams they have played. They have not played against a team that's going to get after them like this. It's going to be a difficult adjustment for them initially. So let's take the Heat in the first half plus 5.5.
Well, maybe that's good for my under 113.5. Yeah, I was thinking about the odds, Bri, like, we were talking about, when the Heat lost that first play-in game to the Hawks, is that how it went?
Yeah.
They were in jeopardy of being the first division winner in, I think, all four major sports ever to not make the playoffs. That was better odds, much better odds than them being an 8 seed and winning this whole thing. And now they're one series away from that.
Crazy, crazy, right? Yeah, because after what they said, after that game one loss, they were 100-1 to make the finals.
After that, 350 to win or something.
And then it was even it was even higher. Maybe even higher.
Crazy.
Yeah. Insane.
Craziness. All right. Let's pick props here. I talked about the Nuggets rust, and I also think Jimmy Butler lays low a little bit here. I like under a half a three made, which means basically he is not going to make a three-pointer in the game, plus 172. Harry, a couple weeks ago, I think you took the other side on a same game parlay. Said that he would make a three.
Yeah.
And I know this bet is more luck than anything, but a plus 172 to get down on something that happened 4 out of 5 games versus the Knicks, he didn't make a three, and 3 out of 7 versus the Celtics. And he's not a three-point shooter. He only attempted more than 3 threes in 2 of the last 12 games. I really like the plus money here. Again, it's a grinder of a bet. You have to watch all the way through if you're lucky enough to get to the fourth quarter and he doesn't have any threes, but he doesn't take a ton. Plus 172, right. Something basically happens half the time in the last 3 weeks. That's my player prop. Parlay kid, what you got?
Yeah, well, this is something, you know, I like to come back with player props once they hit for me. I hit on this a couple weeks ago, maybe even less, on Michael Porter Jr., over 23.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He has gone over this in 7 out of his last 8 playoff games. The only time he didn't go over what was when his minutes were limited to 23 in one of those early games against the Lakers where it was a one-sided route. So he's been, and Sal, this is 20. This is a low number. He has obliterated this number most of this time. He's getting 26, 27, 20, close to 30 on the points, rebounds, and assist total. He is the X factor of this team. Asking him to go over 23.5, let's do it. I think he gets it done again.
All right. Harry, another pro Denver prop for you.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jamal Murray over 25.5 points, minus 1.25. He's averaging 28 in the playoffs. And I think Murray, not Jokic, you could say, was the best nugget in the series versus Los Angeles. He had three games of scoring in the 30s and made at least 10 field goals in all four. And in game ones in the playoffs this year, he's averaging 30 points per game.
In a way, Murray is the, he's really the question mark, not a question mark, but if he could keep his numbers where they've been, I almost think the Heat don't have a chance. You know, Jokic is going to average a triple double or close to it anyway, but Murray's the key. Bri, I think your player on the Heat is the key on the other side.
Yeah.
Adebayo, who showed flashes of just disgusting play in game seven. He ended up with decent numbers, I think. But I think he was like 1-for-6, really kept the Celtics in the game for a while. But you like him under here.
Well, look, I like him under 16.5. It's -123. Like, he has to be better in this series. I mean, he really struggled offensively in that Celtics series. Missed a ton of shots at close range. And, you know, usually you don't see a guy who averaged over 20 points per game in the regular season. All of a sudden they have a number at 16.5. But it's justified. And the weird thing about Miami, and I think that's the thing. I mean, Adebayo overall played okay in terms of rebounding and defensively. But it's weird that they were getting him the ball in the post sometimes when they needed a basket and he just couldn't convert for them. But, you know, I would normally, he definitely has to have a bigger role in this series. But even in the last series, they won despite him not having a role offensively. Because if you look at his last five games, right, he averaged 12, 11, 16, 10, and 13. Those are his last five. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think the one thing you have to factor in, right, battling Jokic, it's going to be hard enough for him. His focus should be defense, rebounding, and there's a good chance he's going to pick up a couple fouls early on. So that that is also going to help hurt him offensively. So I would stick with the under, like he's gone the last five games here.
Yeah, so now, I don't want to talk you out of anything, but like he's somehow in the two games he played against Denver, he was good, like 22 and 19. Yeah, I think he was like 10 for 11 for free throws or something. Yeah. Go ahead, Joel. What are you going to say?
Well, one other thing that Bri forgot about that I'm surprised he did was DJ Khaled is in Miami and will be getting in Jokic's head.
Wait a minute. Bless up. Is that true?
Well, that's,
is that true?
That's okay. Well, is he going to Denver for game one? Is he going? Where's he going to
be? No, Miami's it, right? Miami or Denver?
Well, he'll definitely be at the Miami game.
Yeah, so the game three. I don't have to worry about that.
These are in Denver. Yeah, these are. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right, though.
To consider.
Well, he should talk to Matt Ishbia first if he feels like he's going to mix it up with Jokic anytime soon. Might be a mistake. All right, let's take a quick break, give Caesar some love, and we'll be back with our series pick, although it seems like you'll be able to figure out which way we're going. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. You must be 21 and older and physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. No one stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, DC, Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPENY.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, we gave our game one pick. We gave our player props out. So for the series, exact games, I'm going Denver in five plus 235. I don't want to minimize what the Heat have done, but that's exactly what I'm going to do right now. I had Denver in five over the Lakers. I had the Celtics in seven over the Heat. So very close. Again, I think the Nuggets are substantially better than the Heat. I know it hasn't mattered over the last month if you do play the who's better than the Heat thing, but unlike versus the Knicks and the Celtics, they're going to have a very tough time stealing a game in Denver. Average margin of victory at home. What'd you say, Harry? 18?
18.
Or was that just in game one? In game one, just the average margin of victory at home is 12. They're 8-0 at Ball Arena. The Heat haven't won in Denver, I don't think, in 4 years. Nuggets aren't sloppy like the Celtics. They don't really go cold from three. With the Knicks, it was Brunson. Otherwise, you couldn't really rely on anyone down the stretch. So that ended up being a nice matchup. Defensively, the Heat may have met their match too. You got Caldwell Pope, you got Gordon, you got Bruce Brown. They keep coming at you. They really don't let up. And Eric Spoelstra gets a lot of praise, but Mike Malone, I think, is the best coach the Heat will have faced this postseason. Taking nothing away from Miami, they'll win game three at home. Denver coasts otherwise. Nuggets in five. What does that get me? Plus 235. We're all over the Nuggets here, Parley Kid. I know you wanted to pull the trigger on Miami. I know you did. But you want to be right.
Yeah, I think you guys were probably relying on me to be the one guy that was going to take the Heat, I think. But just upon further review, I just couldn't pull the trigger on taking the Heat. I think this series probably took a lot out of them. I think the Knicks series took a lot out of them. They have really left it all on the floor each and every night. They play so hard to get the most out of their abilities. I think eventually the lack of skill compared to the Nuggets, for as hard as they're going to play, they're just not going to have the legs to sustain it in this series to win. I'd be very surprised. I was leaning to maybe thinking game seven, but I could see just being a Denver up 3-2, go back to Miami and just steal a victory there. I think the Heat they're going to be game. They're going to show up. Their effort is going to win them a few games, but Denver is the superior team. That is a great coaching matchup. I love this final. I really do. I think the game's going to be close throughout for the most part. I think we'll see one blowout involved in here somewhere along the line. But kudos to the Heat, but their run is coming to the end. Let's take Denver in six at plus 350.
All right. I was trying to think of a comparable final here where, you know, a gritty Eastern team plays tough defense, like you mentioned, Parlay Kid, against a little bit of a flashy Denver team. It's not the Warriors.
The matchup, Sal, you just go back to Knicks San Antonio. I mean, it's a long time ago. Far.
Oh, boy.
But I think that's what this is. I mean, no, but really, I think to me, that's kind of how this matchup really is. The Knicks were the eighth seed, right? It's kind of...
Yeah, I guess.
The same type of matchup.
We're going to see both teams are going to have like 68 points with 2.5 minutes left.
It's not going to be like that. But
this is wrong. This is a bad comparison too. But I think the last time we saw a flashy versus gritty team like this, it was Warriors Raptors. Now the Raptors, I think, were a one seed, so it's a bad comparison right there. But the series odds, I think, were about the same. I think it was about like minus 300 somewhere in there, and the Raptors won. I think that's kind of what. That's kind of what you have to rely on if Miami, something like that, right, Bri?
That is actually a good comparison because I've said that before, right? Like you could say maybe this Miami team with Butler is similar to that Kawhi team with Toronto, although that team had a little bit more consistent offense, right? Like in terms of what you would get. I mean, Miami has good athletes who can shoot.
I don't think Toronto was a grinded out type of team at that point. I don't think so, but
maybe not. Maybe they didn't play as good defense. Really good. Yeah, I just remember them limiting.
I get the comparison because of the odds and stuff, and like you know, you always thought, man, that the Warriors would just seem unbeatable. I mean, do we look at Denver like that though? I mean, Denver, they weren't a 65 win team this year. They won 53 games.
Yeah,
right. So they weren't this dominant regular season team, and I'm just telling you. Maybe I should take the Heat because the West just wasn't that good this year. The West wasn't good.
I'm wondering if the East wasn't good. All right. Well, you got 30 seconds to change your mind if you want. Now you're locked in. But somewhat locked in at Denver and six.
I'm going to put a little bit of money on Denver here.
Okay.
But the bottom line is I'm kind of rooting for the Heat.
I can't let him get away with this. You're not going to, if they're up 2-1, we're not going to say, I told you this would be a series. I would not let you do this, Parlay Kid.
This is a great series. Great series.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Bri, you think Denver and six also.
Yeah, it's
right?
funny. I mean, Darren brings up a good point in terms of like all the news media recently, the last couple of days, were like, the East stinks, the East stinks. It's like, I don't know how fair that is.
I don't buy it. The East was better than who was good in the West?
It's a good question, right? I mean, it is a good question. Although the way the Nuggets played, obviously
Denver was vastly underrated.
Phoenix stinks, and you swept the Lakers. So I'll contend that the West wasn't that great.
All right. Well, the Celtics could have bowed out too in seven a whole series ago, and we saw what Milwaukee did. But I don't know. It's tough. I mean, maybe the regular season. That's why I'm glad, like, for Denver. Like, they played tough in the regular season. They got the one seed, and they got to benefit by playing three play-in games. I'm sure they didn't even think it was going to be that easy. But
It's interesting because the matchups are different too, right? Like, the one thing that Miami's going to pose, right, is like defensively they will be all over them as much as possible, right? I mean, they're still going to get a lot of great looks, Denver, regardless. That's just how the offense flows. But yeah, that Laker team couldn't shoot. Miami can shoot. Yeah, so it is going to be a little bit of a different series. I do think over time, though, this Denver offense, and this is what Parley Kid was saying originally, this Denver offense just eventually is going to wear on Miami. It's going to be tough for them over the course of a series to be able to hang with them, just with the ball flowing out of Jokic. And you know, again, with that Boston series, they settled for like bad threes, whereas Denver's going to get in rhythm threes for a lot of these games. So, and it's funny, the one thing that probably Kid said too, which I find really weird as well, I've hated Miami my whole life. I mean, this team has been a thorn in the Knicks' side forever, right? But I find myself rooting for this team for whatever reason.
Just I know, I should hate them, but I don't.
The way they play, I like Spoelstra. I like Caleb Martin. I like Butler. I like some of their...
Yeah, they're not raining threes every 8 seconds with 19 on the shot clock.
They play tough.
Nice.
But I'm sticking, though. I do have Denver in six, too, because I think Miami's going to win some games, keep some tough. They will get blown out one or two games, I'm sure. But over time, Denver is just going to wear on them.
The one thing I was thinking about, forget the scoring, but you know, we saw what they did, and you could say the Lakers stink in the West that stunk, but you thought the Lakers would hang rebounding wise, right? I mean, Denver came out in that first game. It's like, oh, right. Remember, I think Harry, you said Jokic could have 30 rebounds if he wants in this game. And I don't know why, aside from playing tough and then scrapping to the ball and stuff like that, it should be about the same in that category at least. But we'll see. What were you going to say, Pauly?
What do you think the Heat were against the West this year? In 30 games? What do you think their record was?
29-1. No, I don't know. I don't know.
20-10.
Pretty good.
Boston Celtics were 23-7 against the West. The Bucks were 23-7 against the West. The best teams in the East dominated the West. Now, Denver had the best record against the East. They were 19-11 against the East this year. Most teams were under 500 West versus East. East is better. I still like Denver, but don't think that the Heat have had a much tougher road here by far than Denver has had. By far. Not even close.
Sure. No one's arguing that. I mean, they're 3 out of 4 playing teams.
I don't think Denver has played anybody good yet. I really don't.
Well, I'm looking at a specific matchup, though. Like, rebounding wise, like, just let's just talk about stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. All right.
I mean, you bring up a good point, Sal, in terms of like the funny thing is with rebounding, right? In this series now, because of that rebounding, Kevin Love's going to have to play a little bit, right?
They play small.
Zeller's going to have to play because Adebayo will be in foul trouble. So those guys will be in the game. So, I mean, it's a good point. It changes up the lineup a little bit. I mean, Martin's going to have to, again, Martin has to have huge series, rebound really well and score for them to have another shot.
By the way, if they bring Tyler Herro back in what, game three, they're expecting him, but not necessarily, you know, jump right back into sync.
I mean, that's tough.
I feel like they're getting the best with Caleb Martin right now. Yeah. Harry, you think you say this is going to be the most fun out of all of us. This goes seven games.
Yeah, I'm excited for this too. You mentioned Sal, both games very close in the regular season. Parlay Kid, you make a great point about Denver not being a great regular season team overall, but they were great at home. They are 42-7 at home this season. You got to give Miami credit too for not choking game seven, making it to the finals. Plus Butler and the Heat have been there before, whereas Denver hasn't. No one expected the Heat to go six against the Lakers in the bubble, and they did. But ultimately, I think Jokic and Murray will Denver to the first championship in a great series in seven.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, I'm just trying to think, like, is there any way? Of course there's a way, but will Denver go as cold as Boston was? Boston won game six as a worst shooting game of the year, and they were just god awful from three.
Yeah.
Or in that game seven. So I just
on talent alone, Boston wins games on talent alone, but when they're not making their threes, anybody can beat them.
Yeah.
Listen, what do you think? Do you think the altitude plays a part for their home court advantage? It's got to play a little bit,
for sure.
Right?
I think maybe
we talked
game
a little
one.
Bit. We talked a little bit of it, and Parlay Kid, this doesn't bode well for your bet. But there's also no evidence that, like, the athletes will say it does take like an hour for them to catch up, right? So if you have Heat first half, maybe not the greatest, but I don't know. It's why wouldn't Colorado football be great, right? Why wouldn't they win like nine games a year?
My
if these are like 20-year-olds that have to adjust to it.
I just don't
know
if it's because this is like, you're kind of running. There's not too much stop and starting in this. It's kind of.
Yeah, right.
It's a marathon in a way, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there have been some players that says it takes some adjusting to, but I don't know. I think everything's factored into the line. All right, listen, Caesars has these specials. They have like 100 of them. You can go down anything from like -150 to like 100-1. Some of them are ridiculous, but some of them are worth looking at. In fact, I had to stare at this one for a bit. Jokic averages 12 or more assists for the series. 5-1 odds. He only did not have 12 assists once in the last six games. He had 12 assists in one of the two versus Miami this year. He had a playoff game against Phoenix with 17 assists. Like, you only need one of those to push the average past 12, especially if it's a short series.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like this should be an underdog, but not 5-1, maybe 250, 3-1. Good value. I'm going +500 Jokic, 12 plus assists average. Parlay Kid, you're going the other way a little bit. This is an interesting one. Yeah,
I'm kind of going against you here with this because I think the only way I can win on this is if his assist total is under double figures. But I like I love these specials they have here. So NBA specials on Caesars, kind of fun to look around at. But I'm taking Jokic not to average a triple double during this series. Again, just because I think the Heat are relentless. I think points are going to be a little harder to come by, which means assists are going to be a little harder to come by. We know he's going to average double figures in points and most likely in rebounds. Mm-hmm. But I just think his assist total will tick a little under 10 here. Maybe more like 8.5, closer to 9 for the series, because he'll have a game where maybe he gets 6 or 7, maybe a game or two. Bam is a good defensive player. He can make life a little bit difficult. Denver has a little trouble hitting open shots against Miami. Well, not open shots, but getting open shots against Miami compared to these other teams. And his assist total just ticks a little under. Averaging a triple-double is so hard. I'll basically take it at even odds that he doesn't do it at -110.
Yeah, so it's assists, right? You like you said.
It's the assists, Sal. So I know we're kind of going against each other.
You need a seven or an eight in there for assists.
I need probably about 2 7
Just like I need like a 15 or something to cash on my 12 thing. But all right, so there you go. All right, Harry, bam. Well, he's going to have to do this for them to have a chance, I think.
Exactly. I'm going to take Bam to get 15 or more rebounds in a game at plus 225. We know Denver likes to push the pace. He had a double digit rebound games in three of the games in the LA series, had 17 and one. Seven times in the playoffs, he's at double digits. Got to be the man down low, like you just said, Sal, against Jokic. So one game somewhere, he goes nuts and gets 15.
All right. Brian, I think I've said all throughout the Celtics series, well, Butler just has to go crazy like he did against Milwaukee. And then he's going to have to. That's the only way they're going to beat Boston. It's the only way they're going to beat Boston in Boston. And it didn't happen. It really just didn't happen. I mean, Caleb Martin was a godsend for that team. But I really agree with you here that he's going to have to bust out in at least a game.
Yeah, so they do have some really good ones. Yeah, if you think somebody's going to have a monster 50-point game, then you get some crazy odds. But yeah, Butler to score 40 or more in a game is plus 175. And look, like you're saying, I know he didn't have, you know, Knicks and Celtics defended him tough, right? He didn't have a monster game. I would say, you know, he still had 35 in the one game, I think, against the Celtics. Right. But, you know, he had back-to-back huge games. I mean, in the 50s and the 40s against the Bucks. And I could see him, you know, again, this Denver team isn't going to be the same. You know, it's not going to be like playing the Knicks or the Celtics. He's going to get, you know, and we saw last game, he can kind of get the shot whenever he wants. It just depends on when he wants to do it, Butler. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we saw what LeBron did right in that last game when he put up 30-something in the first half. I think you could see something similar. I think one of these games he's going to have a big game and carry them to a victory. So I thought, plus 175 for him to have a 40-point game is pretty good.
I like your, I'm looking now, any player to score 50 or more is 9-1.
Yeah. I mean,
it's fun to root for.
I mean,
someone
I know
will have 30 by half.
I know.
Right?
I mean, I guess you could say like it's hard to put up 50 against Miami, but if Murray or Jokic or Butler, right? One of those guys get hot.
You got three guys who could do it.
Yeah. And you get an overtime game in there. Like Jokic is 22-1 if you just do him.
Yeah. I mean, if Caleb Martin gets hot, I mean, watch out.
Butler's 20. Yeah. Caleb Martin. Yeah. Anybody could get hot. So anyway, what else do we want to do? All right. That's it. We want to talk football. I mean, football's the best, right? Football's king. Especially now that there's a humiliating video of Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield missing short passes. Did you guys see this? Parley Kid, did you see this?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost not fair to cherry pick a couple of bad throws in May, right? But it did get me thinking, like, which NFL team has the worst quarterback situation going into the season? Tampa Bay. Baker at least has experience. So I don't know. To say, oh, they're the worst over some of these rookies that we haven't seen, you know, in a pro setting, might be a little bit of a stretch. Bry's Raiders are consideration if Jimmy G never sees the field for sure. We talked about it yesterday. No, I'm not going to say it. No, I think there's an obvious one here. I mean, the Colts could be Richardson could stink. And then you got Minshew and Ellinger, but they'd still be able to win games in that division. I think Atlanta has Ritter and Heinicke. Not great. I'm going to go Cardinals though. Colt McCoy, Clayton Tune, their draft pick out of Houston, and David Blau, the Thanksgiving favorite formerly of the Lions. That would be my three. And I don't even know if we see Kyler Murray this year, right? If they're like 2-8 going in, do they just sit him, Parley Kid, if he's ready at 2-8? You ever see Kyler Murray, or do they just go for Caleb Williams the next year?
Boy, I think they'll be in total tank mode, Sal. Yeah. Right? I agree with that. We might not see him, so... I thought about that as my pick too here, but you know, I'm going to take one that's kind of in a way similar. And I think our pal Lil A will be happy to hear me say this. I think the Cleveland Browns are in a terrible quarterback situation.
Really?
They gave up they gave up so much for Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. They gave him a huge contract, way overpaid him. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know what? That he did not shake the rust off last year at all. He looked. I thought he looked very, very mediocre to less than mediocre in every single one of his starts. His legs were not what they used to be. Maybe they will be with the full off season and game planning. But I'm just saying, like, right now, I think if Cleveland were to go back, there's no way they made that move. They would not have made that move. I'll take the Cleveland Browns for having the worst quarterback situation in the league right now.
Wow.
Because they're stuck with Watson.
Wow. All right. Well, yeah, you know, that is one. Something we should get into that another time. But, like, who's the Russell Wilson who just completely falls off the cliff? Maybe he'll come back this year, new coach, whatever.
Right.
And who's the other side of that? Daniel Jones, I guess, right? Who earned himself a contract.
Yeah.
I mean, so who's on the upside? Who's on the downside? Deshaun Watson could be the Russell Wilson. You could be right. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I mean, from what I
saw
last year, it was not impressive.
Right.
And like I said, they mortgaged their future for this guy, Sal,
sure,
when he was already super controversial.
Right.
I think if they were to go back, they would say, "Hey, we're not doing that."
They're in the worst shape for sure, I think, because of that.
So to me, I'm considering all those factors. Mm-hmm. He's obviously not the worst quarterback in the NFL, but I think he puts maybe the Browns in the worst situation in the NFL overall.
All right. Harry, what are you? You're not going to say Lions, are you? Did you change teams again?
I'm not saying Lions, but how about this? How about the Rams? Who knows how long Stafford's going to play this season before he gets hurt and banged up? He's entering his 15th season. They've also got Brett Ripien on that roster, who's played 3 years in the NFL. He's got a total of 4 touchdowns and 8 picks.
Mm-hmm.
And they got 2 rookies on their roster, which includes Stetson Bennett, who couldn't graduate in 6 years at Georgia. How's he going to learn an NFL playbook?
Wow. Interesting. All right. Yeah. It's kind of the same reasoning. Like, if they go down, if the Stafford has a nagging injury, they might be tanking for Caleb Williams to come out to LA if he already likes it out here. So yeah, interesting. All right, Bri.
Have I been saying Rippin wrong the whole time?
Rippian? No. It was definitely Mark Rippin. Definitely Mark Rippin when those were days. So maybe he says
I'm right on this one, Brian.
You could be. Maybe I'm just saying it wrong all this time. But yeah, it's funny, Sal. We find ourselves in the same situation every year, right? It's funny. Not until you posed the question was like, oh yeah, there's a lot of teams that their quarterback situation is awful. I mean, granted,
they're all in the South.
You're probably right with the Cardinals, right? In general, but in all honesty, I would probably say Tampa, because for Tampa, there's just not like, there's nothing fun about it. If you're a fan, what is fun about, unless Trask comes out of nowhere and performs like he did at Florida, like what is fun about Baker and that? But like, there are like, I'm looking at this and there, all of a sudden you're like, there are 12 teams all of a sudden that the quarterback situation could go bad. And next year they're looking for quarterbacks, right? Cause you could even say, I mean, look, I tend to like Love on the Packers, but that could go south. The golf stuff could go south. Like Washington could go south. Like there's the Raiders, obviously, of course, Denver. I mean, there's Tennessee. I mean, there's so many situations that it's funny. Not until you said it did I realize like, oh yeah, there's, I thought this was going to be an easy answer. It's not. I would say Tampa, but you're probably right with Arizona.
Yeah, Damashek talks about quarterback saturation, and I don't know, maybe close to making a point, but yeah, I think half of the quarterbacks are, you're right, the jobs are up in the air for next year already. Bri, I would agree with you, except for we know that every Florida team has to make the finals in every sport. So maybe the Dolphins just step up.
Trask
and Baker get it done somehow. All right, let's talk baseball here. My Mets beat the Phillies. They're now 1 game over .500. Kodai Senga picked up his 5th win, 3-1 at home. He's sort of dominant at Citi Field. Lindor homer. Thanks for that, Parlay Kid. Thank you for trashing him. You lit a fire underneath him, and he's now, I guess he's 3rd in the National League with 40 RBI. So you don't have to apologize. I'm thanking you for that. He's right back on track. definitely a good move. Yeah.
Yeah, his numbers are, you know, Volpe-ish, so it's good for him.
Well, listen, you know, these guys that light it up in the American League and then have to switch leagues, you run the risk of them leveling off when they play big boy ball. But your Yankees crushed the Mariners 10-2. Judge, oh boy, number 18. which is two below 20, which Alonso has. Alonso plus 250 to win the home run title. Judge now plus 330. I'm sorry, everybody. We're going to be annoying with this all year. This is just how it's going to be for the summer. We're going to keep track of this. But luckily, thanks, Bri. I got money on both. So,
good.
I don't have to worry about it too much.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's
already got a break.
Well, come on. Don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Come on. One of the two, you got to figure one of the two is going to miss. He's going to miss another one of them, 20 games.
One of them will get hurt, and then the other one will fight off a crazy, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know who will step up. But all right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our play of the day.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I talked about home run hitters. Vlad's gone a week without a home run, without a dinger. I look for him to connect tonight in a winning effort. Toronto,
wow,
-1.5. You know, I took that Alec Manoah for my Cy Young pick, and he's been bad. Not as terrible as Harry's Cy Young pick, but still bad.
He's been bad, though.
Well, no one's keeping track of Harry's Cy Young pick. I wish someone would mention it every now and then.
Oh, really?
I
know.
It was bad.
Somebody noteworthy, maybe.
This is where he turns things around. He won his only career start versus the Brewers, went 6 2/3, gave up two runs. Meanwhile, Julio Teheran has an 8 ERA versus Toronto. The Brew Crew is sliding. They dropped 4 of their last 5. They're in the bottom 5 in runs scored. And like I said, Vlad, Bichette, big games today, 7-3 final. Toronto -1.5 is +115. All right, Harry, you're you used to live, make your way in Arizona, and now you're picking that team. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to live in Arizona, right? D-backs, -1.5, +115. Darren, Torrey Lovello, one heck of a job. This team, it's 9 games over 500. The Rockies starter, Dinelson Lamet, has an ERA of over 12. In games he's pitched, Colorado's 3-9. 7 of those 9 losses have been by 2 or more. And that, you wouldn't know it and think it, but Arizona has the second best home record in the National League.
All right. I know it because you said it in a video or something. I remember you saying it somewhere. Yeah. All right. Nationals, Dodgers. Yeah, lots of runs in that. Dodgers, you know, Brian, the Dodgers, you'll think they're done like in the 7th inning, and then they pour on like 3 or 4 more runs. They're just, I think they're back.
Well, I'll say, look, I like their over of 9.5. I can't go with this game because I totally forgot this starts at like 4:20. So,
oh, it does.
It starts a little earlier. So I'm actually, yeah. So that's my, that is my EP over pick, but I am going to take, 4:20. I'm going to go with the Mets.
In the perfect spot.
I'm going to go Mets Phillies over 9, right? The pitcher matchup, Nola versus Carrasco. Nola's actually, if you look at Nola's numbers, hasn't been great this year, but he's been bad on the road. Nola has struggled on the road. He's lost his last couple. He's given up a ton of runs here on the road. And Carrasco, two starts at home has been just awful. I mean, he's got like an 11 ERA pretty much at home, give up 5. Last game, 6 the game before, and not too many innings. So I'll say it's a rather high scoring game, and I'll take the over 9.
Yeah, he has not been good. Although, you know, I think his last game at Chicago was good, right?
On the road, that was good. But
yeah, home, it's a different story. It's actually opposite of Senga. All right, Parlay Kid, you have a player prop.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, it's funny that, Sal, my play of the day, even though you had mentioned we could use that here as well.
Sure.
Is Toronto to win.
That's right.
-1.5 today.
Is that what it is? All right.
Yeah, that's my pick of the day. So I'm actually going to take George Kirby against the Yankees today to go over 5.5 strikeouts at +111. You know, the Yankees are a high strikeout rate team. The Mariners, after two shortened performances by their starting pitchers, need him to give them some length today, looking like a 6 or 7 inning performance.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone over this number 3 out of his last 4 starts. Very solid pitcher, this George Kirby. So take him over 5.5 Ks against the Yankees at +111.
All right. There you go. Now, we could argue about if the East or the West was better in basketball, but Josh Hart of your Knicks, Parlay Kid, insinuated on Twitter that he's tasted milk from a human woman. And everybody, did you see this? Everyone's coming after him. Oh, you didn't see? Brian, did you see this all day?
I didn't.
Joel, you had to have seen it. Did I make this up? Did I say, hold
was
on?
This a look was this a dream?
Where can he get that?
I think in Amsterdam. Yeah, you're right there. Jalen Brunson says, nice knowing you, Josh Hart. Make sure help is on the way. Yeah, this is, he asked if, have you all ever tasted y'all significant other's breast milk, asking for a friend? And then CJ McCollum says, sick conversation, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox, I'm actually not surprised you asked the question. Less than a month in. It's really, yeah, it's crazy. Really, what Brunson went after him, right? Were you saying this, Joel?
Yeah, I mean, this is true, but it's not like you can just walk into Starbucks and ask for, I think, human breast
milk. Not yet. Yeah. No, I know. So, I don't know. But this is the Knicks, probably, kid. This is the problem, I think, with the Knicks, right? Well, one of them.
Well, I guess that remains to be seen. I mean, it's it seems a little bit. I don't know. Harry's done worse than that, guys. Come on. Harry's done worse than that in the last 12
you
hours.
You look disturbed by this, TPK.
He's going to have to pick a new
favorite team. It's a little disturbing, but.
The Heat.
Listen, from what I saw at the red light district yesterday during the day, Brian, no milk. That's a no-go. That's what I saw.
What?
No-go.
No milk is a no-go?
Angie was thrown up after tasting Harry's.
Harry's udders were leaking. Jalen Brunson, nah, bro. Delete my number. Really? So there's like infighting with the team here. So that's that. Another New York legend, A-Rod, has gum disease. So please, everybody pray for him.
Oh, my gosh.
That's, I don't know what we're going to do about that.
What?
I mean,
How does Scott not have it?
Yeah, your brother Scott. You know what? Maybe it's just the oranges and the lemons that he eats all the time. So yeah, that's sad. And we didn't mention Scottie Pippen's criticism of Michael Jordan. He said he's the worst player and a terrible player and a terrible teammate. I've been saying this for years. And why did it take Scottie? No, he's nuts. Why? I'm not. Babyface, and we're not allowed to really talk about it either because Scottie's going through some stuff. And one of the things he's going through is Michael Jordan's son is or was dating his ex-wife, right? So that's got to be tough to rebound from. But we pray for A-Rod and Scottie Pippen, I think, right? Babyface, do we need Oprah to sit them down?
This is just troubling on so many levels because really, like, this is also why we need the golf tournaments that they have where it's the what's it called, the challenge?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is how they should just settle it. Michael gets someone and Scotty.
Yeah,
like,
you're not
this
wrong.
I would watch.
Yeah, I'd rather watch that than the Kelsey brother, whatever thing they have set up next, Mahomes.
Versus
right.
The Splash Brothers,
yeah,
right?
Little,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And Splash Brothers, Josh Hart and his wife maybe go against each other. I'm not sure how we would do it. All right, listen, I've had enough. I have tennis to watch. I have money on the Braves. I got to go check that out. We're going to do Stanley Cup props on Friday. And that's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Babyface Joel Solomon, Mikey Meatballs, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na.